Good morning.
Good morning, counsel.
Ken Miller on behalf of Amir Gulshan, and may it please the court. Mr. Gulshan did not receive a fair sentencing hearing. Defense counsel noted his need for more time in a stipulation to which the government agreed, an ex parte application, and then he repeated it in his sentencing position.
Okay, we've all been judges at different levels. So when lawyers come in and say, well, we agree that we should continue this 60 days, you know, judges kind of say, well, okay, that's fine that there's no objection or that you agree, but I manage my calendar and I'm deciding. So my question is, just because the other side agreed that you could have that continuance, I don't think that entirely focuses this. So what I would like to hear is, you submitted the first draft of Dr. Phillips' report along with your sentencing memorandum on November 21st. I took a look at the report. What would have been different in the second draft of Dr. Phillips' report if the court granted your continuance request?
I don't know, because...
Well, don't you have to make some sort of proffer?
Well, yes, Your Honor. What they would have done was establish the connection between the mental health issues and the childhood abuse and the crimes. As I put in my brief, I believe it's self-evident, and I believe it's even in the first draft.
Well, it is. It is in the first draft.
Yes.
And the judge, or the first draft, it's an 11-page report, and the judge looked at it and took it into account, didn't give the sentence you wanted. So I'm trying to figure out, as Judge Callahan is asking, How can we find that the result would have been different had he gotten a more fulsome report saying exactly the same things that the preliminary report said?
I don't know that it would have said the same thing. I think that this was a first draft. It was.
But you didn't make any, at the time when the judge said no, you didn't say, well, here's my witness. He's going to take the stand and tell you what the next report would say or what more it would say.
So that we're
left with not knowing what it was that you were prevented from presenting, other than your quite informed speculation that it might have been better than what he presented.
Your Honor, it was presented, but it was a first draft. It was done on an expedited basis. The timing was something like, the court denied the continuance on November 15th. Trial counsel received the report on November 17th, filed a sentencing position 4 days later, and then there was a sentencing. At that
But he entered a plea in July,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So you've been working on that since July, and the sentencing was November what, 21st?
Yes. Okay. Just for the record. It was
memorandum.
The 27th. November 27th was the sentence.
The 27th. Okay.
I wasn't counsel below. So we're clear, but I've reviewed the record. What, he is getting jammed, and I've never been a judge, but I've been a lawyer, and you request a continuance with a stipulation, you request another continuance, and it gets denied. It's time to suit up. You just have to go.
Okay, the fact that it was stipulated to,
yes,
is not enough for us to reverse.
I appreciate that
well,
is not enough.
You have to have some prejudice from the absence of the continuance. Let me finish.
Yes, sir.
You can respond.
Yeah.
And so I'm still trying to figure out, the judge got a preliminary report that actually urged what you're now urging. This is all, these crimes were all caused by things that occurred to him previously in life. And the judge said, okay, I've looked at it. I'm not going to give the sentence you want based on it. And you're saying, well, he was prejudiced, and I'm trying to figure out how I can determine that, other than by simply saying denying the continuance when it was stipulated to is an abuse of discretion.
It's not just the stipulation is just the other side thought it was reasonable. Then there's an ex parte where he explains it in greater detail. Let me switch to the fact that probation never even got to review this. They never considered it. Probation was the driving force between.
Why did they not get a draft?
I do not know, but it was not discussed in the pre-sentence report. It was not considered in the addendums that they were submitting. It was a very high-level statement that he does have these issues, but probation didn't have it. And that would have been, that went right to probation's issues. If you look at talking about the bail hearing and everything that, these misstatements at the bail hearing, the mental health issues were all over that. ER 186, he has bipolar. ER 194, he was depressed. ER 196, he's been on meds now and he's doing better. Probation was really, because probation and pretrial are now a one combined organization, it seemed to me that the fact that pretrial didn't like him really worked its way into probation not liking him. Probation needed this information because it goes directly to what their concerns are. The inability to be an accurate historian is a byproduct of mental health issues. And they were just going past each other. Everything that Mr. Gulshan did was viewed in the absolute worst light. And that, you know, he did a lot of bad stuff, and I understand that. But the proceeding has to be fair, and the parties that make up these decisions have to be informed.
Okay,
and,
yes. Dr. Phillips evaluated Mr. Gulshan on September 8th, I think is what I have.
Yeah.
Did anyone check in with him for 7 weeks between then and November 1st to see how he was progressing in his report?
I do not know if there's anybody checked in between those dates. I know that when they checked in on November 1st, he said, I'm really busy and I haven't been able to get it done. And so, Mr. Eisner, you're going to need more time. So Mr. Eisner said that he started that right after the change of plea. He started the process. And that's going to be in his ex parte application to continue. And then he also talks about it in the sentencing position when he says, I mean, he goes to lengths to say this is only a draft, and it was expedited, and judge and probation, he hasn't even had the opportunity to consider it, judge. And in this case, that's really important because probation was really important. Probation made the 96-month recommendation. They have the 2-year upward variance, which was, what is that? Was a year or 2 years longer than the government's requested upward variance. And they had experience with Mr. Gulshan that made them an adversary. And when I tried to lay out in the brief what I thought was unfair about the PSR in this case, I'm reading that, and it looked like they were just going after him. Every little possible inconsistency.
Just trying to see what was before, there were words like it was unusually cruel, and the report does say he was bullied, that he moved around a lot and talked about his growing up and why, but there was a lot of money involved, but there was the cruelty of these young women that he stole took over their Instagram and then held them hostage. And, you know, there's some pretty aggravating facts in terms of that he threatened their children, made them take off their clothes, that he masturbated looking at just so that they could get they needed their Instagram in order to make money because they were influencers. You know, sometimes it's like you can have all the mental problems in the world or you can have had the bad life. And we see these cases all the time, but still people say, well, but not everyone that has all these problems commits a capital murder. Not everyone that has all these problems, does the acts. I mean, this was kind of factually a bit unusual, and I've seen a lot of criminal cases in all my years. And I think that's what, when you're looking at prejudice, he has problems. The problems don't always say, you would not have committed these crimes if you didn't have these problems. Right,
I understand that, Your Honor, and it's mitigation. It's not a complete excuse. But the point that I just want to make is that the process has to be fair. You come into a hard case. You've got a hard client. Really bad things have happened. As a defense attorney, you have to put the best foot forward. And defense counsel in this case was not allowed to do that. And so the process was fundamentally unfair. And because of that, you can't rely on the outcome. And saying things like, you know, you don't deserve, I'm going to treat you basically this, I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to treat you the same way you treated your client, the victims. That's, you know, the defendant's a criminal. The judge is a federal judge. You don't get to treat people the same way. And so I'm just saying this, in summary, this process I submit was unfair.
And we understand your argument.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Roach.
Good morning, Your Honors. Andrew Roach on behalf of Appellee United States. May it please the court. Your Honors, defendant had a fair sentencing. I want to address the issue of the continuance first of all.
Well, I think that it's not supposed to be arbitrary, right?
Correct.
And the record's a little bit, you know, making the best argument for your friend on the other side. There's not a lot of explanation about why the continuance wasn't granted. So we sort of have to look at everything in the record to see if it was reasonable. Because the judge didn't make any, there was some email or something. There was a copy of an email exchange that defense counsel said the parties exchanged with the courtroom deputy, that Judge Wright was denying all continuance requests regardless of the request merits.
Yes, there was an email conversation between the courtroom deputy clerk and defense counsel after the first stipulation was denied.
So what reason did the judge give for denying the continuance?
Well, the judge gave no official reason.
No reason at all. Well, he didn't give an unofficial reason either.
Correct, but if one credits defense argument that the courtroom deputy clerk was speaking on behalf of the judge.
Okay, so let's assume the judge had a policy of no continuances whatsoever for any reason, which is what the courtroom deputy said.
Right.
Isn't that an arbitrary and capricious policy?
That might be, but that is not sufficient to find that is abuse of discretion.
And I know the government's not to blame here. This is the rare case where the defense is not arguing that the government did something wrong. They're arguing that the judge did something wrong. You all stipulated for the continuance, and the ex parte motion says, I just need another month or 2 months. It's sometime into January to get this done. I think it said we'll have it done by the middle or end of January. And it would be useful for a judge to see the complete report. And whether or not it prejudiced him is a separate issue. But we got this problem here that if a judge comes in and says, I don't care how compelling the excuse is, I'm going to deny all continuances because I'm not a continuance person. Isn't that an arbitrary and capricious policy?
I don't think so, Your Honor. So first of all, the Garrett case talks about that the court has discretion to consider the congestion of its calendar.
Right, but there's no discretion being exercised. Yes, he does. Yes, you can manage your calendar. But where you don't exercise any discretion, you're just saying in all cases, you're not exercising discretion.
Well, Your Honor, we really don't know, so...
That's the problem. We don't know.
Well, then I go back to my point. Really, for this court to find that it was abuse of discretion, defendant still has to show that he was prejudiced. And at this point, defendant fails to do that. At its core, what he claims is that he needed additional time for his psychologist report. But the psychologist report made all the arguments that he wanted. The psychologist
report...
Wasn't
it a question of a first and a second draft, as it were?
Defense counsel argues that, but again, I think it's unclear what more the second draft would say. And the district court quite clearly understood the argument. He just found it not to be a justification. He mentioned, and if you look at ER 30, he mentioned that, you know, people come in and they were bullied and then they become the bullier, and he doesn't really see that as a justification. So it's quite clear he understood the argument. He understood all the evidence that underscored that argument, including defendants bullying, defendants immigration in this country. But ultimately, when he exercised his discretion under the 3553A factors, He just didn't find that that mitigating evidence outweighed the substantial aggravating harm. And if you look at the court's cases on this, on abuses of discretion with continuance, this court has found no abuse of discretion.
So counsel, where what bothered me about what the judge says is, so the prejudice that's articulated is that they were, the defendant was unable to demonstrate a connection between the lifetime of bullying and his wrongfully taking control of other people's lives. And so you have the judge saying, yeah, of course, being bullied, et cetera. Yeah, I've seen that many times. And then he says, and I don't know if we're supposed to consider that as justification for then sort of bullying other people, hurting other people. And if that is the message, then I'd like to hear more about the justification because I'm not seeing a connection. Isn't that the exact prejudice that's being, that they weren't be able to demonstrate to the judge sufficiently the connection between his lifetime of bullying and his conduct in taking control of other people's lives?
No, I don't think so. I think he completely understood the connection they were trying to make. But really, I think when he says, I don't see the connection, I really think it's shorthand for, I don't see that as justification. And that's what he used over and over again several times elsewhere in the record. He said, I don't see that as justification. He knew quite clearly what was going on. And I'll note, too, probation didn't see that as justification earlier. And there's one point I want to correct with what defense counsel said. If you look at the record, actually, defense submitted his sentencing position on the 21st of November, which included Dr. Phillips' report. The following day, probation issued revised documents, as normally is the course, after it views those submissions. So to say that the probation didn't have the opportunity to consider this, I think is incorrect. So probation did have a brief period to consider it. It didn't change their conclusion.
Let me test your argument and make sure I understand it. Let's assume that defense counsel had gone to the judge and said, my expert's diligently working on a report. He can't have it by the date of sentencing. It'll take him another week. And the government, as reasonable as you were, said, fine, we don't have a problem with that. And the judge said, sorry, my policy is no continuances. Would we have an abuse of discretion? And they, therefore, they couldn't submit a report at all. Would we have an abuse of discretion?
Looking at the facts, you could. And I think that is very similar
to the Flint case. So your argument has to be in this case that there was no abuse of discretion because what the judge got was, given what he got and given what he looked at, it didn't, the absence of a further continuance didn't prejudice.
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand.
Yes,
I understand the judge has lots of discretion in setting scheduling, but it seems to me his policy here strikes me as arbitrary. It may well have been error to apply that policy. I'm still trying to figure out how we can find out whether or not Mr. Gulshan was prejudiced.
And it might very well have been inappropriate for him to just, for the courtroom deputy clerk at least, to make that statement. But still, if you look at this court's case...
Does it matter that it was 7 months or whatever since the time, or not, I don't know. It was July that was the play and the end of November that was the sentencing. Does that matter?
It does. So... I know we've spent a lot of time on the fourth factor for how this court looks at it, which is prejudice. But if you look at the other factors for how this court determines, I don't think those other facts cut. And to your point, the 7 months goes to the defendant's diligence. So the plea here was in July. This expert was retained in August. As you mentioned, this expert actually interviewed the defendant in September. So there was a lot of time for this argument and this evidence to be created. So I think that factor doesn't cut in his favor. The other factor that I really don't think cuts in his favor, really none of them, but whether the continuance would meet his needs, I think that sort of dovetails with the prejudice. And having additional time to make this argument, I don't think would have actually met his needs because the district court understood the argument, understood what he was trying to say, and just found it was not a justification for the substantial harm he caused the victims. And then obviously,
if there had been no report, would that be a different
Yes, Your Honor. And I think if there had been...
Situation?
Yes. And I think if there was no report, I think that could be an abuse of discretion. And that's very similar to the Flint case, where the Flint case where Mr. Flint was not allowed to submit a psychiatrist report. In that case, the court found an abuse of discretion. But here, and that because it went to the issue of Flint's competency, but here the defendant was able to submit that report, and the court did consider it, the court understood the arguments, and so we don't believe he's prejudiced. And we also believe the district court's sentence in this case was ultimately reasonable. The court considered all the factors as it's required under 3553. And if you look at the record, it really engaged in a thorough and meaningful review of the factors in varying upward. So we believe there was no abuse of discretion, and we ask this court to affirm the sentence.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Miller.
Thank you. I just want to reiterate Judge Wardlaw making the point. It's the nexus between the abuse and the mental health and the crime. It's not to justify it. It's not to completely excuse it. It's only to mitigate it. The other aspect of the prejudice is another basis for the continuance was a huge PSR that defense counsel was saying, I need time to address. And he was not given that time. And
yes, ma'am? Did the motion for the continuance ever get to the judge?
Oh, yes, the ex parte. There was a stipulation first, and then there was an ex parte application to continue.
Okay.
And
was it stamped denied or what? So I don't understand how the court clerk got in the middle of this.
I can't remember if it's an actual separate order. I looked at the docket sheet this morning, and all I saw was denied. I don't remember what it looks like, but no reason was given.
But there was a denial by the judge of
yes.
the motion.
Yes, and that ex parte is really important because that's the one where he explains the arbitrariness that I was told by the clerk that you're not continuing anything, you're not continuing any sentences into next year. That was filed with the court, and the court never corrected that record. So that arbitrariness, it is there. And it was not just an email, it was in Mr. Eisner's filing back to the court. The court never corrected that.
Yeah, but you're not arguing that. You relied on the representation of the court clerk.
No.
You filed a motion, the judge denied it.
Yes.
The clerk later said he's not granting any of them.
Right.
Okay.
And just the last thing so I can make sure that it's clear is there was a lot of arguments that weren't made. My colleague on the other side pointed them out in their brief, and that's another form of prejudice. Because there is, as I've argued through that opening brief, I think there were a lot of points that could be made under the guidelines, a lot of points that could be made on the reasonableness.
Can I hold it against your side that you've never made a proffer that another report would be any different?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Well, you haven't made a proffer that if he had had the time, which there's been substantial time from now, that a second report would be any different than the first report.
Well, it would be because you have to address the judge's concerns. You have to have time to sit down and look
well,
at it.
But you haven't presented anything like
well,
that.
Well, I'm stuck with the record that we have. But I know looking at what happened before, you would tie it up to Judge Wright and say, look, there is a direct connection between this and this, and it doesn't justify it, but it explains it. And when your probation officer says that he keeps lying to him and he can't get his story straight and that really frustrates him, well, that's a product of a lot of the issues
that
Mr. Goldstein has.
Could you make a motion for reconsideration could you have made a motion for reconsideration with the finished report?
No, you'd have to file your appeal within 14 days. I mean, you could file, but that wouldn't even give you enough time to do the new report,
so
and you've already been denied.
You don't want me to hold that against you.
I do not want you to hold that against me, Your Honor. Okay, thank you.
All right, United States versus Gulshan will be submitted, and this court will be in recess for about 5 minutes.